Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
That's Not Gunner Productions podcast.
Lady Mouth.
Hey, ladies! This is going to be a fucking awesome episode of Lady Mouth because I got Beth here. Beth, let me tell you about Beth. Hi, Beth.
Hello, Nancy.
Thank you. Usually we call each other asshole or beautiful or gorgeous or hoe. And those are my favorite words with me and Beth.
My favorite is when we get on the phone and the first thing I hear in my car is asshole.
Because it says Beth asshole on my phone in all caps, but it's not just asshole. It's like, I go asshole, but I'm also thinking of Kevin Kline and A Fish Called Wanda, you know? And that's where the charming part of it comes in for me. I'm not actually calling you an asshole. I'm just trying to be like an Oscar winner, you know?
Word.
That was dumb. I'm sorry. I'm kind of dumb sometimes. Anyway, ladies and gents and everybody who is listening to Lady Mouth today, we have the amazing Beth, one of my friends, besties. I don't know. I haven't seen you in forever. And I was a lot closer with you and your sister about a year or two ago. I miss you guys. I will tell you that. I miss the hell out of you. Oh my God. It's just because I separated from that group of friends. Like, how am I going to hang out with your sister? I need to hang out with you more.
Exactly. A group of friends should not dictate how you hang out with an individual friend.
You're absolutely right. It's a big insecurity of mine. In fact, there will be a future Lady Mouth episode with me and a girl named Hannah. We're doing abusive friendships, and I have a lot of field work. Like when Robert Downey Jr. quit drugs and then he was playing an addict. He's like, I've had 20 years of experience, life experience. I'm like, yep, abusive friendships, that's me.
There you go.
Yep. And just so you guys know, not Beth or her sister, who are some of the most amazing, talented, smart women I have ever been privileged to know.
Stop it. I pay you too well.
You pay me all in love, my dear. But So Beth, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself before I start my questioning line?
Awesome. So I am a 38-year-old mother of one, nurse, advocate for anybody who needs an advocate. I live in Pennsylvania, and I've been trying to become more of an advocate for not just women, but of minorities. And just people who can't speak for themselves.
That's similar to what I'm doing. I know it's all about women talking, but I want to be for everyone. I want women to talk, but we're going to start our live stream. Hopefully Beth will join it. It's going to be called Loudy Mouth. It's for any gender, all 85,000 of them. And we're going to like bitch about current affairs, talk about the episode. So I can't wait for Loudy Mouth. Yeah, I can't wait for you to join it. It's going to be awesome.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. That'll start later. I won't say the month because your episode's going to air after we start it. So you've probably already been on Loudy Mouth. So at this point.
Maybe.
All right, Beth, today. Oh, well, first I have to start with my first question. You guys in Lady Mouth might have noticed every episode, I say, how did we meet? Whether it's someone I've known for 15 years or someone I just met on Twitter. I just like that question. It adds some happy, fun familiarity. So Beth, my love, How did we meet? Because I don't even remember this.
You don't remember?
I don't remember. I remember us being loud.
Okay. So my sister and I became a part of a, well, my sister brought me into a group of lady friends. And we all went out to this one restaurant, Earth and Bread or something like that.
Oh, Earth Bread and Brewery in Chestnut Hill, Germantown.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, so, I love that place.
So Michelle and I met there. I'm scared to tell you what year that was because you're not going to believe me.
No, tell me what year. Tell me.
2012.
Oh my God, that was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So we met 8 years ago through a group of girlfriends, and
we were having a ladies' night. I'm sorry.
We were having a big ladies' night. There was a bunch of us there. I was kind of hanging out with like my triathlon people because there was two of us that were training for a triathlon, or thinking about it.
Iron Woman now?
I am not an Iron Woman. I am an Iron Girl, which is totally different. I did not do 140.6 miles, so please don't give me kudos for that.
But Iron is in your title now. I think you deserve fucking kudos, Nomad. You know, you're thanks. Iron Beth, for fuck's sake.
I'm just an iron bitch. So we met there, and don't remember what sparked the conversation, but for whatever reason, Michelle was on one end of the table, I was on the other, and we decided, oh no, it was at the Greek restaurant that happened. Michelle and I were sitting next to each other at a Greek restaurant at another girls' night, and that's when the obnoxiousness of loudness happened between the two of us, and that really solidified the friendship at that point.
Oh my God.
Only a couple weeks later.
Yeah, and being a loud bitch is very important to me, you know?
You're a Jew. I'm a WAF. It's in our blood.
I know. And, you know, the Spanish, too. I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, my mom is so fucking loud. You ever watch Modern Family?
No.
When, all right. Well, there's a scene where Sofia Vergara, she's talking loudly on the phone in Spanish. And it's like, Dino. And Ed O'Neill's like, is that happy? She's like, of course, is that happy talk or is that mad anger talk? He's like, she's like, of course it's happy talk, silly. What else would it be? And he's like, I don't know. That's exactly my mom and my dad.
Right.
Right there, you know, in a nutshell, except my dad's Jewish, not Irish, but.
That's okay. Yeah. But yeah, so that's how we met. We met through a wonderful group of women that were coming together from so many different areas of interest. So it was super cool.
It was super cool, Beth. I don't remember what we talked about, but all I remember is our bond is, besides being loud bitches, we're just outspoken and we will talk about anything.
Yes.
You know? And I admire the hell out of you. You're like an iron goddess, you know? I call everyone a goddess. Sorry.
I love it.
Okay, good. I will not be insecure for celebrating my female friends.
Absolutely not. You shouldn't be.
I know. It's a thing. Sorry. Quarantine's got me a little anxious. It's been a while. I'm just really happy to see you. I'm really happy to have you here and what we're discussing today, which is an issue that is extremely big for both of us. And it's funny because Beth and I just reconnected after a while. I wanted to see how her daughter was doing. It's been a couple years. I had been wondering who I was going to do this episode with because ever since I started the podcast, I knew that I wanted to have as many episodes about women's reproductive health as I can. Whoever wants to talk about whatever. Specifically, I'd like to talk about abortion, but, you know, we'll get there. I'm not going to bring it up. If it comes in natural flow, it comes in natural flow. Beth, I want you to talk about what's important to you about women's reproductive rights and health.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. And no problem. This is a super important issue right now. Little background on myself and my reproductive health is I have PCOS. It took me 7 years to get pregnant with our daughter, $20,000, 40 pounds of weight loss, one surgery, and I can't tell you how many pokes, prods, and injections in my butt. So,
oh my God.
Super, super important to me and my family. Without reproductive science and reproductive health, my daughter would not be in the other room watching my worst show ever, SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh no, mine was Caillou, but SpongeBob made my younger daughter cry, so SpongeBob was banned in this house. Sorry, Tom Kenny, I love you, but can't do SpongeBob.
Not a SpongeBob person myself, but she loves it. So that's why it's so important to me. And the one thing I want to make incredibly clear is reproductive rights and reproductive science is so incredibly important. And, you know, one thing that Michelle and I were talking about when we were discussing this episode was pro-choice, pro-life.
And you brought up a very good point.
To be pro-life is to be pro-choice, because without being pro-choice, we could potentially lose the life of the woman, not just the fetus. It's also more than just abortions. It's the rights to affordable birth control, the rights to affordable reproductive health and medicine.
So turning this around, turning pro-life into a positive as I am pro the woman's life. Now that is a fucking awesome statement. And I am on board with that. And, you know, I am pro-choice. I've had an abortion. I have no regrets about my abortion.
Same.
See, I knew we'd bring it up naturally.
Yeah.
That's all we have to say about that. We don't have to go into that. But, you know, and without that abortion, I would never be the thriving person with my two daughters that I am today, you know?
Without the abortion, again, I wouldn't have my daughter now. And, you know, you might have anyone skeptical about the statement I just made. Let me clarify. I did not have PCOS when I had my abortion. PCOS came after. So be it the kismet of the universe or whatever, it just took me a little longer. And, you know, without the sciences, I wouldn't have her.
Exactly. And now look at you. You're a beautiful, thriving woman with a beautiful, thriving family.
And I'm bringing up a strong-willed, sassy girl.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have a Lady Mouth episode on that, too. Maybe you should join in for that one. I'm doing an episode on, it's called Girls, Girls, Girls.
And
it's
going to be
me and my friend Maggie, who is a nurse practitioner, so she's very like you. We are doing an episode of Mothers of Girls. So maybe you should join in on that. We'll have a three-way.
Totally.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey. What? A nurse three-way. Well, I'm not a nurse, but that's okay.
Medical professional.
Professional. You know, just so everyone knows, I recently quit my medical professional job until we get in green phase here, because in my medical professional job, people weren't wearing masks or disinfecting. And I don't care if you think I'm taking the blue pill. Fuck y'all. Wear a mask. I'm not fucking around with this shit. I have an autistic daughter and her health comes before your motherfuckers not wearing masks.
Amen.
So let's get back, Beth.
Yeah.
All right. So you had PCOS.
Still do. Still have PCOS. Still do.
Really? What?
Oh, yeah.
Struggle? What now? All right, I'm sorry. I should know this. Can you tell me exactly what PCOS stands for?
Okay. So the acronym PCOS stands for polycystic ovarian syndrome. It is not a reproductive disorder as most people would assume.
No, cystic would be cells, right? Because psi is cell.
No, it's cyst. It's cyst. Actually cyst on your ovaries. It's actually an endocrine disorder.
Oh,
because your endocrine system is what secretes all of the hormones into your body to all of your different body systems. And with PCOS, your female hormones and your male hormones are out of balance. And again, that goes back to your thyroid, part of your endocrine system. So it's an endocrine disorder, not a reproductive disorder as it is usually thought of.
Okay.
It affects more than just your ovaries. Yes, it's polycystic ovarian syndrome. So it's also known as the ring of pearls. It is seen with, you'll see multiple follicles that sit on your ovaries, but they never come off of your ovaries to give you your monthly gift. What happens is that they sit on your ovaries and they become cysts. And
like a disgusting pearl necklace.
It's worse than the pearl necklace boys want to give you. It's so They just sit there and they block ovulation. They thicken the lining of your ovaries and cause a lot of issues. And it's all because of your lovely progesterone, estrogen, and testosterone being out of whack. So somebody with PCOS usually, and by the way, it's very different for every individual. So I will speak for myself and no one else. My testosterone levels are through the roof, my free testosterone. I have more free testosterone than most men in their 20s and 30s.
Wow. Okay. What does that mean for you personally?
So what that means is you have a, you get what's called hewetism, which is excess hair growth. So I joke that that I grow a better goatee than most people. So true. I shave my face. My arms have excess hair. My abdomen has excess hair. My lower back has excess hair. And you can say it's because I'm Italian and I'm hairy. No, it's the PCOS. Thank you.
If you could grow a goatee though, I want to paint it like you.
I can't grow a full goatee right now, but like under my chin, down towards my Adam's apple, that whole area is covered.
Oh, the pencil and thing douche beard.
No, not the douche beard. I could grow a full, like, I don't know how long it would grow, but I mean, it all grows underneath my chin and gets really dark and gross.
Oh, yeah, my mom has those chin whiskers. I pluck them out. Oh,
yeah, pluck them out. I have too many to pluck out, so I shave.
Oh, God.
Another thing that PCOS means to me is it has thrown off my insulin level. So I am insulin resistant. So my body has excess sugar, which then when you have excess sugar, it creates yellow soft abdominal fat. And that's how it's stored as energy.
Like adipose?
Adipose tissue, yes.
Yeah, okay.
So I have that lovely, large and in charge spare tire. Fine. It is what it is. What else does it do to me? I sometimes miss my cycle. Sometimes I get my cycle every month. I tried an IUD for 18 months and it turns out that it doesn't work for me. So, you know, we were using birth control to first, we were trying to use it for one reason, then another. And then we said, this isn't working. So we pulled the IUD and then we went to oral contraceptives, not to keep me from getting pregnant, because that's a miracle in and of itself for me. It was actually used to stimulate a regular menstrual cycle every month.
Oh, wow. Now, so, any treatments that can be done for PCOS? I mean, removing the thyroid or what about the gland that makes the progesterone? I mean, the testosterone.
So, without having a map in front of me, and I'm a lowly LPN who's been out of school for 10 years, so to remember the full endocrine system and which organ does what, I can't remember if it's pituitary, if it's thyroid, there's too many that I can't remember who does what.
I've been a massage.
But treatments, you're asking about treatments for PCOS. The one that the doctors like to go to immediately is a drug called metformin, which is usually used for diabetes type 2.
Yes, yes.
Well, they use it for PCOS to kind of help with the insulin resistance and, you know, it actually helps you lose weight as well. I'm not a candidate. I tried it. We did metformin 500 milligrams once a day. And when we were trying that, I found that my legs were cramping and I was having this horrible discomfort. And I was thinking, oh, it's because I'm working 11 to 7. It's not anything else. It turns out that I was in a very serious crisis called lactic acidosis, which can cause cardiac arrest.
Oh, gosh.
So as
lactic acid was building up on all your muscles?
Not just my muscles. It was building up in my bloodstream. And going to
my... Oh my God, that's awful.
Yes. So that usually is not seen clinically in your 20s and 30s. That's usually seen later in life in your 70s and 80s. So once again, I get an anomaly from this disease and I can't do the traditional treatments. So metformin off the table. Then you can use other diabetic medications, but unfortunately they cause swelling and weight gain. So with already being a woman of plus size, they didn't want to put me at any more danger gaining weight. So now,
what about bariatric surgery? Is that something?
Monica, I love you so much. Monica, my sister and I have.
Did she get some?
I will not speak of my sister's health.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
That's okay. But my sister and I had a lot of conversations, and a couple of girls that I met through Monica and how I met Michelle have had bariatric surgery. So I talked to a few of them about it. Unfortunately, due to our lovely healthcare system, my insurance does not cover bariatric surgery, even though I'm one of the primest candidates you could ever see.
I was going to say, I would say a gastric sleeve would be it.
For correct.
You. You don't need to go duodenal or root.
No, yeah. I didn't want to do the root X and Y. I didn't want to do the switch.
The switch saved my life, but everyone has a different,
It really depends on your needs, and my needs
were the sleeve.
Yeah. So I actually looked into sleeve surgery. Unfortunately, my insurance does not cover sleeve.
Not
one. No bariatric surgery, nothing.
Oh my God. Is there anything we can do about that?
A GoFundMe? No, okay.
I will GoFundMe your bariatric gastric sleeve.
We are not GoFunding for a gastric sleeve. What we're going to do is we're going to be very proud of what we were given by the universe or God. I'm personally a God person, so yes. I'm going to be proud of what God gave me. I'm going to rock what God gave me, and I'm going to live my life.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a future episode about, I got a lot of blame from ex-friends on vanity for getting weight loss surgery. That's a future episode. But yeah, I agree. Love who you are. Beth, I have always thought you were just awesome.
Thank
you. I never looked at your size or shape. I just saw Beth,
Totally reciprocated.
Awesome. Thank you. I don't think you knew me when I was a fatty, fat, fatty, but...
I didn't. I met you post-surgery.
Oh, okay.
And listen, surgery, I'll tell you right now, if I could get surgery, I would totally do it. And yes, I just said, be proud of what God gave you. I still would be proud of what God gave me, but I'd also be proud that God gave us science so we could do that and save my life.
Exactly. I think a lot of the fans of God, they don't know that God created science, right? That's their thing. Shouldn't they believe that? If that's what they believe. Why would God not create science if he didn't want to help you? That's why, let's not talk about how I'm an atheist. But anyway.
That's another episode, creationism versus religion and all that crap.
We should do that for an episode. That'd be great.
I told you I wanted to do that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll do that. It'll be our third episode.
I said G-O-D isn't a dirty word. Anyway, so back to women's health. I have, unfortunately, in our healthcare system today, I'm not going to blame, President Cheeto. I'm not going to blame President Obama. I'm just going to say there needs to be better healthcare reform across the board, no matter who put the laws in place for women's health and women's rights. I have been blocked on many different avenues, and if I were any other person, I'd probably just throw my hands up in the air and say, well, fuck it. I don't care anymore. This is my journey.
Yeah.
I'm going to speak out and I'm going to work as hard as I can to try and get some reforms within women's health and women's reproductive health, more or less.
And Beth, may I ask, what is your favorite organization to help with the empowerment and involvement of women's reproductive health reform? Because I will make a donation in your honor when your episode airs. I do that for all my guests.
Thank you. Planned Parenthood. Because
that's what I was thinking too, but I didn't want to assume.
Well, thank you for not assuming. And it's not just, again, we're not just going to the A word today. The reason I'm such an advocate for Planned Parenthood is that Planned Parenthood makes women's reproductive health affordable for people who normally wouldn't be able to afford women's health.
I went to Planned Parenthood before and after my abortion for my birth control when I lived in Philly.
As did I.
Yeah, I was a I was a horse and carriage driver. What money was I making? I didn't have insurance. Planned Parenthood on 13th and in Center City. That was where I was. And they closed that one.
I was actually down in North Carolina when I had mine, and living in Charlotte, and don't know if they're still open or not, but let me tell you how scary being in the South wanting an abortion is.
Oh my God. I am waiting with bated breath.
It was very uncomfortable. It was very nerve wracking, especially since the individual that I was in a relationship with was a person of color, mm-hmm. a minority. And you had me, a young,
super white girl,
20-year-old white girl, yeah. walking into a clinic and, you know, feeling fearful.
Yeah.
You know,
the protesters outside.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, you want to hear something interesting? The day of my abortion, there were no protesters outside. A year later, when I was walking in for women's health and nothing to do with abortion, there were protesters outside. And as mm-hmm. I went to open the door, someone said, "Don't kill your baby." And then I was pissed. I'm like, I'm having my Jeanine Garofalo moment in Dogma. And I spun on my heel back at them and flipped my hair. And I said, "I already killed my baby last year." And I walked right in. I was so pissed. Fucking protesters. Now, but protesters are evolving as well. They're getting more violent. They're blocking yeah. cars. Protesters against Planned Parenthood and any kind of abortion clinic are terrorists in my eyes. I mean, well, not terrorists, but they're extreme.
They're fear-mongers.
Yeah. Extremists who...
Yes.
are psychopaths who are ready to run you over in their car while you're right. pregnant.
And I mean, mine was, let's see, I was 20.
Well, yours was almost 20 years
18,
ago.
So mine was 18 years ago, 19 years ago. And
in
so.
In the 90s in North Carolina.
No, it was actually 2002.
Oh, okay.
In North Carolina. So they weren't as extremist.
Okay.
However, again, I said I was with somebody that was a person of color, and it was after 9/11. So
oh, wow.
that played another little interesting tidbit in there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So it was concerning, but I as a young woman, I was scared. And so for me,
24, I was scared.
Yeah, did I speak up? No, I went head down, hat on. Walked in, knew what I had to do, did what I had to do, because frankly, I was looking at myself from a health standpoint because I was not making good choices when I was living down there. I was looking at myself as a potential parent. Yes. Didn't think that was a good idea because of my poor choices. Everything went back to my poor choices. And so I just knew that this wasn't the right time for me. And I will say that Planned Parenthood worked very closely with me through my process and after my process. And after my process, we talked about a lot of different types of birth control. And I said, you know, I'm a massage therapist part-time. I have 4 jobs. I can barely make ends meet. So I don't know if I can afford birth control. And they said, no, honey, you know, that's why you're here. We're going to make it affordable for you because we don't want you to have to make hard decisions again.
I remembered I paid $60 for my Depo-Provera shot. When I got the depo, I stopped. Yeah, I'm on IUDs now. The Mirena is my best friend. Guess what, Beth?
He's a fucking bitch.
What? Okay, I just got my third and final one because get this, now that I'm 42, my wonderful gynecology team, I call them the OB-GYN Kenobis. they told me that I could just leave this shit in till I hit menopause and then I'm done.
Marina's,
yay, no babies.
Marina's a fucking bitch.
What did she do to you? She loves me, except when she likes to fuck me that first time, she makes me scream a lot, and it's not in a good way.
Yeah, no, she was bad to me for 18 months. Apparently, I got a low-lying infection that stayed localized in my uterus for 18 months.
Oh my
God. And I would have this brown, sorry guys, but we're talking
about women's health. Don't sorry.
So I was having a brown, like it basically was like a bloody, muddy discharge.
Ooh.
Every couple of days. And then anytime I had sex, I would have this odd discharge. And everyone said, give it 6 months, give it 6 months. And I was like, you know what? I'm giving it 6 months. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. It then started causing a skin irritation downstairs with the lady bits. So I finally, after 18 months, I'm like, get this bitch out of me. I do not like her. I was explaining my problems. And so my OB was very concerned, which by the way, my OBGYN is amazing. Dr. Karen Hancock, big ups. I love you at Stone Ridge OBGYN. Dr. Hancock was very honest with me and said, so I think we need to take it out if you're having these issues and it's been going on for a year. And then the big scary word came out. I want to do a biopsy.
Oh, is that a big scary word? I never thought of that as one, because I got a cold cone biopsy a few years ago. All right, I was scared that I was going to have chick cancer. Okay.
So she wanted to do a biopsy of my uterus. And yeah, as a woman who has PCOS, one of the biggest numbers for cancer is uterine cancer.
Yep.
So I'm like, oh my gosh, I have PCOS and now I might have uterine cancer, which is like the biggest fear for all of us. So we did the biopsy a couple weeks later. And the only reason we did the biopsy is after we took the bitch out, I started passing clots the size of baseballs.
Oh, balls. God. That blood was clotting behind it? Or
no, I actually, what happened was, is once we pulled the Mirena and we took the hormones away from me, I started shedding a lot of lining and bleeding. Like, I mean, bleeding. Like, oh, I was wearing 2 postpartum pads and I bled through during a double shift at work to the point where I had to drive home, change my scrubs, change my pads, and go back to work and wear 2 pads at once just to get through the night.
Oh,
so call the doctor about that. They're like, so we want to do a biopsy. I'm like, fuck, I might have cancer.
Yeah, that's a scary thing to go through.
Yeah. So I talked to one of my girlfriends, Melissa is another nurse colleague of mine. And she also has PCOS. So we were talking about it and I was like, so I have to get this biopsy done. She said, I'm coming up to you. I'm going with you. I said, okay. I said, but you don't have to, cause she lives in Jersey. She's like an hour and a half away. She said, no, I'm coming up. And you can't stop her when she's has her mindset. So she came up, we did the biopsy, didn't have cancer, found out it was a low-lying infection that stayed in my uterus for 18 months. And I am never allowed to have another IUD placed again.
Oh, good.
So Jesus, they wanted, Christ. Well, then they wanted to do the implant in my arm. And she, my doctor, again, Dr. Hancock, I love you, but she was really pushing to do the arm implant. And I was at the point where the invasive birth controls made me very uncomfortable. And instead of listening to my practitioner and saying, okay, you know better than me. Nah, bitch, I know my body. And I know exactly. My body apparently does not like these invasive birth controls. So I said, we're doing the pill. She said, well, you're not a good candidate for the pill. I said, well, I can't do NuvaRing because I smoke. So guess what? We're doing the pill. And she agreed.
What constitutes a good candidate for the pill? Young and 18?
You can take the pill in your 30s, but if you're a smoker as I am, you
smoke with the Mirena either. And I smoke with it.
Yeah, I smoked with the Mirena too. any birth control, like, let's put this out there for the ladies that don't know.
Why do they say you can't smoke with them? I've been smoking with
strokes. Strokes. You're at risk for strokes.
I'm not getting this. Well, I probably will.
Oh my gosh. Seriously, Mix, don't do that. The minute you say that, you're going to get it.
I'm going to get a stroke right now and I won't be able to finish my interview and then I'll be pissed.
Yeah. So don't say that. So women out there that don't know, if you are a smoker and you're on birth control, bad idea. Birth control can cause strokes. It's a horrible, horrible thing. And it's the last thing you want to have happen to you. So I'm currently not taking birth control. And I have both my hands up with my fingers crossed, praying for, of all things, menopause to happen.
Yeah.
Because once I go into menopause, I get to get my hysterectomy that I want. I am waiting for my hysterectomy, and I could do elective, but that means that I would have to pay for it in full. And there are health risks associated with an early hysterectomy. It encroaches on your cardiac health. We're not going to do that. So Dr. Hancock and I had a long conversation about it. And what's best for me, not everybody, but for me, is to, as soon as I show signs of menopause, we are going to go ahead and do a full hysterectomy. I'm still on the fence on if I'm going to do the oophorectomy or not.
What's an oophorectomy?
For a full hysterectomy, it's called a bilateral salpingo-oophorectomy with hysterectomy. So that means they take the salpingo is your fallopian tubes and oophorectomy is the removal of your ovaries.
Bilaterally. I know what that means.
There you go. So I'm actually thinking about keeping my ovaries because even though they're basically like geriatric at this point, they still give me some hormones. So I do want to get busy with my hubs.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to keep them, but I want my uterus out and I want my fallopian tubes out.
I agree. Well, I mean, for you, yes.
Not me.
I'm hoping that when I hit menopause, I will still be like the same person, but I won't most especially give a fuck as I don't give a fuck now. I think it'll be more when I've heard that when women hit menopause, there's just this freedom that overcomes you and you're like, oh yeah. I'm a real woman now, you know?
Yeah. I don't know how I'm going to feel about it. I'm just excited to get the hysterectomy for one reason only. Yeah. It takes away one more cancer I could get, yeah. Which means that gives me more chance to spend more time with my daughter that we spent a lot of money and time creating.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's great, Beth. That's wonderful.
Yeah, man.
So we have talked a lot and we have talked about some fun things women can go through with their vages. Let's talk about what you really want to say to women about vag health and how to protect it. I know you've said some stuff before, but if you have some other serious things that you really want to stress, I want to give you the forum to do that now.
Thank you. Okay. There's so many places I can begin. To know me is to know that I take things to a place of humor to deal with it. So let's go there. Ladies, your bits sweat. It's called swamp vag. It's very natural and okay. So what? You sweat a little.
Like pussy smell. I mean, it's natural woman scent.
No, no, not pussy smell. Pussy smell is totally different than what I'm talking about. I'm talking about swampy, sweaty vag. Like you've heard of swamp ass?
Yeah, or swamp crotch.
Right. Okay. So I call it swamp vag because I think it sounds better and it's more vulgar.
No, vag is fun. and you see, this is why we bond, because we both have an absolute 1000% love for vulgarity.
And inappropriate speak. So
exactly.
Swamp vag, totally normal. And I mean, are there things I do to combat my swamp vag? Absolutely. I wear wicking underwear, cotton underwear. Don't spray your pussy with spray deodorant. Please don't do that because then it clogs your pores and then you could get pimples down there. And then you're looking at all sorts of infections. Okay. Don't spray your puss. Okay. If you want to do anything, pat the puss with a little bit of powder and you're good. Don't be embarrassed by it. It happens to everybody. Us ladies of the heavier size, it happens to us a little bit more. Don't be embarrassed by your bits. Okay. If you have a fupa as I do, it's a pillow for the person's nose going down on you.
Oh, that's sweet. I should tell my boyfriend that, but I don't think I have one.
Okay. No, I have a raging fupa and I'm proud of it. If your labias are a little bit long, it's okay. Don't worry about the looks of the things. Cause really I can honestly say in my slutty days, you know, once upon a time before I was married, not one individual that I was sleeping with took a magnifying glass and a flashlight and looked at my bits to say, you know, I don't want to fuck you because of that. Okay.
You know, that's so funny because that's never in my experience, it's barely ever a guy insecurity. But in my experience, like I've looked at myself and I'm like, am I too dark? And I asked my best friend that and she goes, have you ever watched a porno? I'm like, no, I don't watch porn. I mean, I don't care if other people watch it. I just don't dig on it. She goes, every vag is dark. I'm like, okay, I'm feeling better about my dark vag now. I thought it was the Spanish. I don't know.
You want me to send you a snapshot? I can, because they are all dark. And they all come in different shapes and sizes. And
yeah, celebrate your vag, guys. Like your vag is your power.
We talk about positive body image. Guess what? Your vagina is part of your body. Celebrate it. It is what it is. Let it be your power, whatever the hell you want to call it. Don't be so insecure. I mean, I will joke about my long labias, my fupa, and my swamp vag all fucking day long. You know why? Because I'm proud of it. My husband doesn't seem to care. We've procreated. We've had sex. It never bothered him from the beginning. So celebrate your puss. When I say that, I don't want you just to celebrate your puss. I want you to take care of her. You only get one. That means if something seems different, you're going to call your doctor. You're going to talk to somebody about it. If your menstrual cycle starts getting a little funky, you're going to call about it. If you start having pain with certain things or discharges with certain things, you're going to call your doctor. Take care of her. She's your only one.
Exactly. I mean, I am the first person to consult a doctor when something in my body is off. And being a massage therapist for almost a decade now, the one thing that I am extremely aware of, even including with the bariatric surgery, is my body. Your body talks to you every day. You just have to listen.
The other thing, a couple other points I want to make. Just because I had a kid and Mix had a kid, that doesn't make us women. Never, ever feel pressured to feel as though you have to have a child because that makes you a woman. No, what makes you a woman is your chromosomes, not what comes out of your vagina or your abdomen, however you have your child. Don't feel that pressure. If that is not a life goal of yours, it's okay. And don't let anybody change that about you. You don't want to have kids, don't have children. And if you know,
I love the stance we both have. We're both breeders, but we're like, people don't breed. Please don't.
If you don't want to breed, don't breed. There are people out there that shouldn't.
People should not be forced. And, you know, people prego trap people. People manipulate women into getting pregnant. You know, it's just we'll do a separate episode on that one day. You know,
I celebrate the women in my life who have said, you know what? Motherhood is not for me, but I will love children. It's not about, it's not that you don't like kids or whatever. It's just not in your lifestyle. And you know what?
Exactly.
Live your life for who you are, not what society thinks you should do. If you end up getting married or you're in a committed relationship and someone asks you when you're going to have children and you say, you know, I don't really think that that's in the cards for us, and they give you that stank face, that's when you turn around and say, okay, bye. You know, you don't have to.
Exactly.
You don't have to explain yourself to anyone. If you don't want to have children, don't have children. Don't let any individual in this world, male, female, whatever, challenge what you consider is your life and your choices for your life. If you don't want to have kids,
guys, personal ethics.
Yeah.
You know what's best for you. You are the captain of your fate and the master of your soul. Nobody else possesses you, and definitely nobody possesses your fucking reproductive system.
And lastly, birth control. It's a very sensitive topic, and due to our political climate and our healthcare system right now, birth control is an issue. And please remember, birth control is not just about keeping you from getting pregnant. It is also a hormone replacement that we use. If you don't have resources to get affordable birth control, we need to start Googling it. We need to look into it so we can get you what you need, because your body is so important to you. And if you're in a hormonal imbalance, it throws off every part of your being.
Of course. Now, may I ask a question?
Of course.
Now, I don't know if the hormones that transgendered people go through for their treatments are similar to hormones that may help women. But what about combining the two? Because it seems like when you're doing your transition, whether you get T or you get estrogen, it seems like there are larger quantities. Is that accurate at all? Or is that something that can be a solution for women's reproductive health as well? Or any kind of hormonal imbalance with any gender?
Yes. I mean, there are men out there. I want to celebrate you guys too here. There are men out there that have reproductive issues because of something called low T, low testosterone. There are patches out there for men. There's gel out there for men to increase their testosterone to potentially give them a better likelihood of getting a woman pregnant. The problem with reproductive health is, and it's not a problem, it's just a challenge. Every patient is so gosh darn different from the next that what works for me, patient A, might not work for patient B. So it's a challenge that our medical community has been working on for a very long time. What works for the goose doesn't work for the gander, and they're trying to figure out, you know, what are other treatment options that we can create, not just for male, female, but for transitioning, transgender, everything. So there's a lot to look forward to, hopefully, I say, because of, again, I hate saying it, our political climate.
Yeah, it's a buzzword.
It is, and it's a douchey buzzword, but it's very true. And it is, but it works because, you know, reproductive health and just, you know, health in general is really in a scary place right now.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that our sciences that I love so much aren't blocked as they're being kind of blocked right now through COVID-19. I know, another topic for another day.
Wait, no, but you know what, though? I know we wanted to talk about COVID. So let me just impart something I learned from Morgan's NP. She said COVID is being treated immediately, but the after effects of COVID aren't. And that is something that incenses me because I know people who have gotten COVID and survived and they're still working their fucking, you know, EMT hospice NYC nurse jobs, you know, and what happens when they get brain damage? You know, what happens when they, I mean, is COVID going to make strokes with people? Are we finally going to the zombie apocalypse after people who have been infected by COVID start turning a little freaky?
Okay, so first of all, to my fellow frontline essential workers, I thank you all for the hard work, dedication, and love that you're putting in every day at work. For my COVID patients that have been positive and have recovered, amen. I've been praying for you guys every day. I'm so glad to hear you recovered. To your question about post-COVID, there is something called post-COVID syndrome. It does, from what I've heard, I haven't read enough about it yet, so I don't want to sound like a professional here.
Yeah, of course.
Post-COVID, I hear that there's a lot dealing with the pulmonary system and the lungs. So yes, there's a lot of stuff that happens afterwards. And since it's such a new novel thing, we're still getting a lot of data from it. And, you know, we haven't gotten full answers yet. But yeah, there are some major issues. I work in a nursing home and, you know, do I see people who were on ventilators that, oh my gosh, a 70-year-old got off a ventilator? Good Lord.
Wow.
The fact that they're now having lung issues that they didn't have before, you know, yes. And it's sad to see. And people can say, oh, well, they're elderly. Yeah, well, they were elderly who had COVID and didn't have pulmonary issues prior. So shut your face.
Exactly.
So yeah, we are seeing a lot of different types of things. And they're studying a lot of post-COVID and what's going on and how it's going to affect the body long term.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to. That affects everyone, not just women, everybody. But I just wanted to, it's something we had discussed about prior to this episode. So I did want to bring it up because I think COVID should be brought up in episodes once in a while because
doesn't need to be the, it doesn't need to be the spotlight, but it definitely should be a point because it's our world right now.
Stops women's reproductive health. What if women become infertile and then there's like a period where there is way less breeding? And then I actually think that would be good personally. I need people to stop fucking breeding. But if COVID stops women's reproductive like abilities and we have a lot less population in the world, would that be the worst thing? But it's the worst thing that if COVID caused that, you know?
Right, right. With women's reproductive, I don't know if it'll, I don't know if COVID will affect
it. We just don't know anything yet.
Right? Yeah, we're in a real big state of flux that we don't know what's going to happen yet. We just have to wait and see. But you guys, really, you've got to take care of your bits. It's so, I just can't emphasize how important it is because within those bits are connected to other body systems and those other body systems will get affected and then they'll affect other body systems. And it's a horrible chain reaction. So please, please take care of yourself. Take care of your bits. If things don't seem right, they probably aren't. Check your boobies for cancer. Another great thing to do. You can listen, email me. I love playing with boobies. So I have no problem doing breast exam.
We're all about boobs here, Lady Mouth.
So yeah.
I was just going to say, may I just say something coming from a massage therapist perspective? My clients never know, like probably 80% of my clients never know. I have my shtick when I massage, you know, when people ask me about a crunchy or I'm popping some human bubble wrap, they're like, what is that? I'm like, essentially what sticks to your muscles is metabolic waste caused by emotional, physical, and mental stress. It's plaque. The plaque that sticks to your teeth, that's what sticks to your body. So, you know.
It's like, and if you need a visual of what it looks like, okay, we've all seen, you know, we've gotten plaque from our teeth. The best way to explain it is toothpaste. It looks like toothpaste. It sticks your muscle fibers together like glue.
And when it sticks those fibers together, you know, you get those closed pores with the sebum pouring in. I've gotten Bartholin cyst because of stress. It's disgusting. So again, I want to piggyback on Beth's insistence. Please take care of your bits.
My girlfriend calls it, she calls it bits. I usually call it tiddly bits, but it's bits, you know?
Yeah. Tiddly bits is adorable.
It's how women identify. It's one of the reasons women identify as women is our bits downstairs. So if you don't take care of them, you might not have them. So just take care of them. Yeah. And if you've had a child and things have changed after having the baby, talk to your doctor about it. I can't stress, talk to your doctor. And if you're embarrassed, I really hope that you have friends like I have where I can literally call them about my poops and stuff, but I can call them about my periods. I can call them about discharge. Yep. If you don't have one of those friends, I will be that friend for you.
That is very generous, Beth. I think, you know, we'll put whatever, whatever social media you want to tag on this episode. And guys, please know that I'm there too with you. Anything I talk about, I'm always around to, you know, you email me, whatever. I want to join Beth in her crusade because it's just as important to me. I want to join every guest I have in their crusade, you know?
It's a network of crusades.
It is. I'm trying to create a healing platform where we can all work together and not fight.
Ugh, wouldn't that be nice?
Right?
And not judge and be judgy and be a Karen. Yeah. I'm sorry for anyone whose name is Karen. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. Karen has become the term for a bitchy woman. And those bitchy women, I even want them on my show. Get me Karens, guys. If you know a Karen, I want to interview her. I want to understand her.
I'm known as a COVID Karen.
I'm cool being a COVID Karen because I can't say what I've done. Anyway.
No, nip, nip, nip.
Beth.
Protect yourselves, love yourselves, take care of yourselves, ladies.
Wonderful words from one of the most amazing women I know, and I'm glad and honored to know you, Beth. And from all of my heart, thank you so much for speaking up today and sounding off your lady mouth, opening your lady mouth. That's my phrase, whatever.
Thank you for having me. And thank you for being a part of my platform and letting me get my platform out there.
Exactly. And think, you know, when I'll get that Planned Parenthood donation underway and then send it to you, it'll be in your name and we'll post it when your episode airs.
I'm so excited.
Yay.
And thank you to all Planned Parenthood, anyone on Planned Parenthood on here. Thank you guys so much for taking care of our women.
Yes. Thank you. Honestly, this has been great. I love you. Thank you so much.
Love you too. Thank you. And I can't wait to do another episode and hear this one air.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. And yeah, we're going to get a Beth for a few things.
All right, guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Morgan Phillips and I'm a human.
And I'm Isabella Vallette and I'm also a human. But I was raised by fairies. And now I'm taking my human friend Morgan in to meet all of the mythological creatures that I know.
Every Sunday we meet a new mythological creature and interview them about their life in a modern day context.
Such as?
The Night King from Game of Thrones.
Funicula, the friendly vampire brother of Dracula.
We've met the Loch Ness Monster.
Santa.
The Volpertinger.
The Devil.
And a mermaid.
And many more.
We release all our interviews as a podcast called Off with the Fairies, where we interview a new mythological creature every week living in a modern day world.
Come join us.
A That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Reproductive health. I have a child.
You're talking to a paper.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.